हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 75 Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Mother Jashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by distance of the width of two fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though by love Jashoda could bind her child, and though the span of her lap was small, the small form of the Lord was still all-powerful. That is shown in three verses. The boy was thinking, I cannot be bound up because I must do my daily duties of stealing yogurt and playing with my friends. Daily duty, right? His vibhuta shakti, power of showing his opulence, inspired by the satya sankalpa shakti, the Lord's every desire should be fulfilled, suddenly entered into his body at that time. Right. Thus, the rope became two fingers short. She got more rope and tied it together with the other rope, but it was still two fingers short, right? Because the satya sankalpa means whatever he desires, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So, since he desires that he fulfill his appropriate duties, which is stealing yogurt and playing with his friends, he couldn't be bound. Right? And then, you know, with his vibhuti, his power of opulence, just showing that opulence of his power, his greatness, these kind of things like that. Yeah. Yes.
The Bhuti Shakti and Satya Sankalpa Shakti, they are part of his internal potency?
Yes, yes. It means there's unlimited Shaktis. That's why we say that there's three main. Because otherwise, each one, they have unlimited. You know, you also have the inconceivable potency, you know, that allows all the contradictions to be together. Mm-hmm. Because as we said, is the, how you say? We buy something for 1 rupee. We sell it for 100. Where is the profit? Where is it situated?
In my pocket.
That's another thing. No, but we're talking about in here, in the analytical process. Oh. It's between the 1 and the 100.
Okay.
Now, what if it's 1 and 1,000?
Same
profit?
No.
Yeah, better, right? 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000. You understand? So the greater the distance, the greater the profit. You understand? So the more the contradiction, the farther apart the different things are, that reconciliation of that gives greater pleasure. You understand? So that's why of all things that are the most different and the farthest apart is the masculine and feminine principle. Right? So the process of putting those two together, that gives the highest happiness. Does that make sense? Though it's only a concept here, and in the spiritual world it actually works. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why the distance is then, you know, it's just like friends, they're basically equals. Mm-hmm. So it goes this way, that it's nice, but then parent, you have the adult and then the child, that distance is more. Yes. Right? You know, it's also that masculine and feminine. The other one's masculine and feminine, but it keeps switching sides. Whichever friend initiates something, they're in the masculine position, the other one's the feminine. And then the other one initiates something, it switches. Because they're equals. But the conjugal, then it will always be that very great you know, and then there's, you know, how you say? The two have ways of making the distance even greater, right? The woman by her contrariness, the elusiveness, shyness, then it just puts it farther away. And then the man by his, you know, cleverness or his, let me say, you know, that kind of thing. Youthful arrogance and this and that, then makes it, because that the boys do. You don't do that with girls, but by doing that, it sets it apart farther. So then what happens when, you know, it's like with Krishna and the cowherd boys, you know, they boast and they, like this. That, you know, that brings them, you know, it's, does that make sense? But when Krishna does that with the gopis, you don't do that with me. So when he does that, it separates it more. So what do the gopis do? They become more contrary. Right? So it's just all taste. So it's about the personality and pleasing the person, these things work. But if it's not, then in the material world, these are the deal breakers. This is what destroys everything. So then the idea is, no, make it more equal, make it more the same. And so that should, by that theory, then make it work easier. But then it's just boring. Yeah. You know? Is that, you know, so therefore, that's why the whole science is that, so that energy that can hold all that together. So that's a very, very important, you know, the Achintya Shakti. Is that, yeah. So like that, there's unlimited energies. Mm-hmm. And within each energy, that vibhuti, the power of showing is opulence. Power of showing is opulence, but then there's so many different opulences and combinations of those opulences. They'll give a different flavor. You know what I'm saying? So each one, they're all energies. And so like that, there's unlimited energies. And so for Krishna, then he's able to deal with all these because he's unlimited. Mm-hmm. And so then he can taste all these various ones. And then which Shakti is then being displayed by which devotee at which time. You know, because it's according to the nature that certain opulences are there. And certain devotional moods, then certain ones aren't there, right? Otherwise, it doesn't match the mood. That's how you get that combination, right? Is that make sense? Yeah. So, you know, it's just like, let's say if we make vegetable juice, right? Do we use potatoes? No. You always use things that are green and more like that. You understand? So it's just, it doesn't go there. Right? But if we want to make, you know, something more serious, like what I'm saying, is it pomme? Let's see if we can say it. Pomme de terre au gratin dauphinois.
Pomme de terre au gratin.
Huh?
Au gratin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dauphinois.
Yes. Like that.
Comme ballonade.
Okay. Then you need potatoes. Celery won't work.
What's that? Baked potatoes?
It is a kind of baked potatoes. One of many. Okay. Does that make sense? So in other words, but the point is, potato in its own place, and that it's the perfect thing. Nothing else can do what a potato does. But in other things, then you don't want a potato. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that everything has its potency and it matches with other potencies and all that. And so that's the perfection, that it has all those things to please Krishna. And those are the standard things. You can mathematically get varieties that you wouldn't do. Right? And so for Krishna, they won't be manifest. But mathematically, they're there. Yes. But they're manifest here in the material world for the 8,400,000 for them, you know, doing things that Krishna wouldn't be interested in. Right? So that's why this whole thing of just, oh, it's here and mathematically it's possible, so why wouldn't it be there? That's the way mathematicians think or logicians think, or because I can think of it, it's good. But you can think of so many things. You know, how many ways could you put the garbage can on the dinner table? Right? I mean, there's unlimited ways you could put it there. You know, put a couple of bricks there, have it standing on edge, you know, like that. And You know, he could do so many things. But is any of those things someone that is cultured would do? Never. So that's the thing, is because mental speculation is so valued, especially, you know, in the so-called intellectual world, that if they can speculate it, they figure it must be of value. Therefore, if it's of value, of course Krishna would be doing that. Right? But that's I think, the term is anthropomorphism, where you project your own values on God and say God's like that. So that's generally how all these people will, anyway, the atheistic will say the concept of God is means people, what they value, they project it in there, and actually it's just a projection. But in actuality, no, God is there. He has his desires and all that. And so then from that, then how will be the taste? So in other words, if you're going to say this is good, how do you get the principle that this is good? How is it defined as good? What makes it that you can say it's good?
The Shastras.
That Shastra, okay, yes, there. But I'm just saying, from the principle of what are you doing to say something's good?
By the result.
By the result, but yes. But you're also defining something as not being good.
Yes.
Right? So this is good because something else is not as good. You understand? That means all those are correct, but this angle is what we were taking. Mm-hmm. So then by making that aspect, then it's good because these other things are not. Mm-hmm. And so in the material world, we say that this is good. Just like, let's say, living under a rock. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but let's say we're talking about humans.
No.
Right? No. But for some variety of, you know, especially the rodents and that, living under a rock or a snake, that is, you don't get better than that. Right? Because they can't get at you from the top. You can only go underneath, and how many can dig? So it's like, you don't get better than that. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is all the ones that are the best, those of what Krishna, and it goes both ways. You go a little bit this way, a little bit that way. Just like, let's say, you want to buy a particular, you know, a nice sari, right? So you go in to look at saris, okay? So then, let's say you're thinking, I'm going to buy a sari, let's say around 8,000 rupees, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, now we're getting interested, okay? So, but where do you start? Where do you start? You start down at the 4,000 and go up to see the difference, right? And then you get to 8,000, but then you don't stop there. You see, well, what's in 10 and 12? Yeah, I mean, you can do that also. But whichever way you go, because the point is the guys get more inspired if you start at the bottom, go up. You start that and start going down, then you go, where's this going? Oh, no, they're not going to buy it. But if you start down there, and then you, okay, well, what, you have anything else or something better? Then they get inspired.
If he agrees for 20,000, he will definitely buy it for 8.
Uh-huh. Okay, another tactic. Okay, yes, okay. But you understand, you look at all the sides. But then what you're trying to get at is that. So that's why then you have that perfect thing. There's always, he's the Lord of threes. The one in the middle is what you're trying to do. Right? But that middle means there has to be something before that and something after that. You know what I'm saying? That's then what makes everything so perfect. You know, so Govindaji is the main focus, because there's Gopinath and there's Madan Mohan. Because that's where these two connect. Like then we said, opposites, the prophets in the middle. Right? So then that means that's where the place is going to be. That's where the best is. Does this make sense? Yeah. So you have to be able to hold those together. So when you have Sambandha and Prayojana, what holds them together, what makes the contact, is the Abhideya. It means I can think about something, that would be interesting. I can be attached to something. But the point is what connects my interest and attachment is the activity. It's what's in the middle. That's what connects them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And what connects things in the material world?
It's the same thing. It's the same process. It's just, the point is, the living entity is interested in what Krishna does, because Krishna does it and he becomes happy. So the living entity wants to do that and become happy. The only difference is they want to do it without Krishna.
Yes.
So then the point is it's happening because of Krishna's satya sankalpa, his vibhuti, and all these different energies are then working for his desire, the icha shakti. But he has the potency. He is the Shakyamun. We're unfortunately not. You know, just by, how you say, mathematical calculation and observation, you can understand it's not working. Right? So, therefore, we have that desire. We can't carry it out. We're not independent. He is. Because even if his energies don't act, he's still satisfied. But we, being energy, we have to be active. You know, you try the thing, okay, let's, you know, how you say, vegetate or something, but how long can you do that? Right? You know, so that's not. Yeah. So then, one, we're unable to do those things. So, but because the living entity desires that, and Krishna, out of his affection for the living entity, tries to arrange these things. Because the point is it's not that arrangement is good and Krishna's cool with it. No, it's not good. But the point is since it's a matter of affection. Affection is based on choice. And so since we've chosen to not serve Krishna or see things in connection with Krishna, then Krishna makes an arrangement by which we might decide that the other would be better. Right? So when we try to apply all these activities that Krishna does in our own life, for our own self, we find that we're not satisfied. But because we're convinced of, you know, we have that faith, you know, that firm faith, you know, and how you say, and just like the maturation of faith in devotional service is prema, so we have that maturation of faith in lust, you know, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and the, you know, these, we're just like, you could say is we are well situated. You know, the sty bob is like, you know, is strong. And so then it just takes time. And we see it's a long time, because that's why they use the term anadi. It's not like, yeah, generally 3 lifetimes, they kind of figure it out. No, anadi, it's a time immemorial. No one can even tell how long it's been. You know? And so then finally one starts to think, something's wrong here. But one's thinking of something's wrong here is we want to fix for that, and not necessarily adding Krishna into the equation is our desired solution. So therefore, oh, we need to be more pious, or we have to be more renounced, or we have to be more charitable, or, you know, I have to be more focused. Or, you know, we'll pick all these varieties of religion to try to fix the problem. But when at some point these don't work either, because religion's meant to please Krishna, then we start to doubt what's going on. At that point, that's the window in which the living entity can take up Krishna consciousness. Then what's not shown is Krishna is the missing ingredient. So then one can gradually move towards that and then come to the point of prema. So that's the whole thing. Krishna's trying to arrange that. That's why one could think, why would he make the material world? Why would he make it like this? Why does he allow us to do these things? You know, only because it's going bad for me. But everything's going fabulous. I'm not saying, why is Krishna allowing everything materially to go so nice, and I have so many friends, and it's all so fabulous, and I'm respected, and I have facility and money and everything. Why is he allowing this? You know, I'm so happy. I'm enjoying so much, you know. You know, it's like, no one ever says that. It's only when things go wrong, then they doubt. But then the doubt can't be yourself. It has to be Krishna, because he is the controller. I'm supposed to be the controller. I'm not. He's the controller. So why isn't he controlling things so I enjoy? And so that just still continues our staying in the material world. But when we understand it's no, until things are in line with Krishna, him being the complete whole, doing things connected to him, that gives the pleasure we're looking for, like watering the root of a tree. Then it starts to become dynamic. Then it moves forward very nicely. Does that make sense? So that's all being done because of Krishna's affection for us. And so if you're doing something wrong, that needs to be corrected. So therefore, then you stick to doing pious things, you get a better result. Impious things, you get a worse result. So then there's going to be more there. But ultimately, it's going to be down, is it Krishna conscious or not? That's the real definition of piety and impiety. So,
Well, can you say that there's some kind of shakti, which we have seen maybe 2-3 times, you know, that it has been mentioned by Chakravarti Thakur. So it is the one which is topmost, which initiates all the other.
Is it topmost? Why would we? The Satya Sankalpa, no, that's just one of his qualities, because everything is working together. The Sarup Shakti is the topmost.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Because it is the one which is inspiring the other Shaktis, you know, to be initiated, to be working for that particular pastime.
What is the result you want from Satya Sankalpa?
Satya Sankalpa for Krishna means his desire should be fulfilled.
His desire should be fulfilled. Okay, Satya Sankalpa then will fulfill Krishna's desire. Now by fulfilling Krishna's desire, then what happens?
He gains pleasure.
He gets pleasure. Okay, so then in this, then we would see Satya Sankalpa is serving the pleasure potency.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Like that. So that's why one has to see these fine points. Otherwise, then we get things off. Because one can do that with anything, anywhere, right? Without knowledge, right? Then you can't do anything. So therefore, knowledge is the topmost. But unless there's authority, power, and that, you know, dynamic kind of aspect, then nothing gets done. So therefore, the Kshatriyas are the center of all attention. Of course, the Brahmins give some advice, but the real thing is the Kshatriyas. And then, of course, we move down to, without money, you know, nothing happens. So therefore, the Vaishya is actually the center of everything and all that. And the Shudras, yeah, but if we don't do it, and, you know, and all the feelings and all that aren't there, then what's the whole point of the whole thing? You understand? So that's the thing, is that one can do that with anything. Mm-hmm. That's why then the acharyas, because these are all mathematical. So these are possibilities. That's why I'm saying the mental speculative point is not actually the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So variety has to be based on what pleases Krishna. Otherwise, just whatever area our intelligence is able to calculate within, we'll always consider that's the most important. Right? You know, it's just like you have all the success gurus. You know, they'll each say something different because that's what works for their nature. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Is that so therefore what is Krishna's nature? So his pleasure is the highest thing you're trying to get. So therefore the pleasure potency is the highest. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, here is the first chapter in Krishna's exhibition of unlimited potency to Mother Yashoda. When she tried to bind him, the rope was too short. The Lord had already shown his unlimited potency by killing Putana, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. Now Krishna exhibited another vibhuti, or display of potency, to Mother Yashoda. Unless I agree, Krishna desired to show, you cannot bind me. Right, because he has more important things to do, stealing butter and playing with friends. Right, because it's about his pleasure. Right, and interact with the devotees. So he's doing that to interact there, but we see, because Mother just showed up, because she shows her affection. Therefore, him being bound is therefore the important element. Right?
It says here this is the first chapter of Krishna's exhibition of unlimited potency to Mother Yashoda. What about the universal form in his mouth? Pretty far out too.
That's there, but that's just a moment. But here you see you're trying to tie him with ropes, and no matter how many ropes you tie together, then it becomes longer. I think, I'm not sure who explains it, if it'll come up here. But I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I heard Giriraj Maharaj once talking about it. How all the other gopis that are there, then they went to their houses and also collected all their ropes. And that, so there was like a festival of ropes. There were so many ropes. You know, and because it's not working, you're not going to use a short one. You're going to find the longest ropes.
Like the mountain kind of.
So it just, so therefore we see it just keeps going on and on and on. So therefore we could say this is a major. The other one is that's there. It's mine, but here. Because also you can say killing the demons, and that's the Vasudeva aspect. Like that. Is that that aspect of Vishnu, he comes, he kills the demons. Because the Pritranaya Sadhunam, like this, you know, what's it? Dushpritam, yes, killing the demons, yes. Those ones then are the aspect of Vishnu, because he maintains. Because the point is Mahavishnu and them, how much affection can they show towards Krishna? Right? Because they're quite busy with creation, maintenance, and destruction. So therefore, they don't have that much time to put into it. That's why Balaram is said to be the supreme personality of servant or Godhead. So all the expansions are all Krishna's servants, but because they have so many other aspects they're doing, their duties, then to display that affection for Krishna, they are busy. Right? But Balaram, then he's just there to serve Krishna. He doesn't have anything to do, even though he's the, you can say, the original source of everything to do. Right? As we mentioned, I think it was Rupa Goswami mentions that particular quality of Balaram, which means the potential for creation, maintenance, and destruction is there in him, but he doesn't manifest it. So it's only when he expands as the Jnana Shakti, means as Vasudeva, then Vasudeva's expansion, you know, then you get Mahavishnu. So you only see it manifest there. Otherwise, even the Sankarshan, Prajumna, Adiru, and Vasudeva in the spiritual world, you don't see it. But that expansion as Mahavishnu from Mahasankarshan, that's where you see it. Right? So he technically has nothing to do, because all this expansion is taken care of, just like Krishna has nothing to do. He expands. So then Balaram takes care of that aspect of arranging with the Jnana Kriya for directly in the pastimes. You know, so he's a bit busy, but, you know, not so much. So therefore he's the supreme personality of servant of Godhead. Right? But the greatest servant is Radharani, because she has nothing else to do. Right? So that's the thing. Krishna has nothing to do. She has nothing to do. Perfect match. Right? Like that. So their expansions take care of everything. So all these Vibhuti Shakti, Satya Sankalpa Shakti, these are all Radharani's expansions. So she expands as Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya then takes care of all these. So these will all be more connected with Baladeva. Does that make sense? So all the things of Jnana and Kriya, those are the ones that are going to be supporting Icha. So that's why Icha is the main thing. Because you're fulfilling the desire, but how? Through an activity. So that'll be Kriya. Right? But the pleasure gained from the fulfillment of that desire, that is. Because the point is you're fulfilling the desire for a particular experience. It's not the desire being fulfilled, that's what you're looking for. Does that make sense? So therefore the Hladini is the top. So within the Srup Shakti, the Hladini is the actual main thing. Because the Srup controls everything, is everything. But within that, the pleasure potency is the highest. That's why Radharani is the highest. Even though she's Srup Shakti, but she's taking that flavor. While Yoga Maya is referred to as Srup Shakti, but she's taking the flavors of Jnana and Kriya. Yeah, so she's arranging. She's also known as Leela Shakti, like this. So she arranges everything.
We always say that when we talk about Raj, we usually use Ladini, Sangita, Sandini, and not so much Ichigyana and Kriya.
No, they're also there. It's just that we're more used to that, because the Ichigyana and Kriya is a little bit more, has that aspect of fulfilling desire. It's a different thing. It's the influence. Well, the others are more the position. Like that. But in the pastimes, when it applies, then it's not used. We only can analyze these things when trying to understand what it is. But to actually really understand, to experience, then it's beyond these. Mm. Okay. Does that make sense? Mm. So then it's, she'll take care of that, and then it'll expand out from there and stuff like that. So within the range of the, how you could say, within the Icha aspect, then there'll be Radharani, Lalita, and Vishaka. They'll take care of those three. Right? But then when you go outside of that, then you need the Kriya and Jnana to arrange the bigger picture. Does that make sense? So that's why Ladini is there, in the, as we said before, in the middle, between the two. Thus, although Mother Jashoda, in her attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, ultimately she was a failure. When Krishna agreed, however, she was successful. In other words, one must be in transcendental love with Krishna, but that does not mean that one can control Krishna. Right? Because you're in love with Krishna, therefore he's controlled by that love, but not that you're in control. But these subtle points are there, otherwise everything gets thrown off. Right, because we think, oh, I'm advanced, so therefore now I'm superior. But that means one didn't understand what's going on. Because advancement means Krishna's mercy. I'm not the source of the mercy, so how can I be superior? Right. When Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything himself. Sevan Mukhi, he jivadhau. Swayam eva spurat yada. He reveals more and more to the devotee as the devotee advances in service. Right, so that's the point, is all these understandings, the more you go, the more Krishna reveals. That's the point. But it's Krishna revealing because he's pleased with the attitude. It's not what we're doing. It's the attitude in which we're doing it. And that attitude in which we're doing it includes that we're trying to understand it nicely, apply it nicely, and get good results for Krishna. But it's the attitude of service that is what catches Krishna's attention. Does that make sense? So that very much has to be appreciated. Because otherwise then you get the two extremes there. It's all about what you're doing, the secondary, or it's, no, it's just about the mood. We don't need the secondary. Right? Does that make sense? So you can see that they both have a mistake there. But the interesting part is the one where we don't require the form actually has manifests more obviously the impersonal nature. And the fun part is that group is always the one that thinks they're the most personal. Maya's so clever, you know, illusion is so clever.
Kamaraj, can we say that the attitude is like primary and secondary together?
The attitude is then, it means the attitude is there, then you have to apply the attitude. That's where you use the secondary. So in other words, how do you know the attitude is there unless something's done? But doing something, what's the point of it unless it has the attitude? That means, how do I express the love unless I'm doing something? But doing something, unless it expresses the love, what's the point? Right? Just like, okay, the man tries to make some nice arrangements for the woman, you know, for an anniversary or, you know, something. But he focuses so much on the arrangements that there's no taste. So then, even though it was meant to, he got distracted by the secondary and missed the primary. Or if he thinks it's just the primary, you don't even need the secondary and keep it light and things like that, then she may think it's not actually a serious endeavor. So how serious is the affection? Does that make sense? So, like that, then... that's why the two have to be balanced. Mm-hmm. One has to know, but we'll always take, oh, it's this, oh, then it's not that, oh, then it's this.
Yes.
This combination where both go together, that's not something we're very used to. Right? You know, it's got to be one or the other. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point is that the combination, as we said before, when the two opposite things are combined and balanced, that's where it works. Because the form of things, the action of things, is opposite the principle of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you can combine the two, because Krishna is the principle, and the Shakti is the forms and energies of everything. So that means the masculine and feminine principle. So therefore, the two of them coming together in that balance. That is what you're trying to gain. Does that make sense? So it's a very straightforward point, but it has so many angles. Like before, when we were trying to figure out a certain aspect, then we could take it from Shastra, we could take it from the difference in this or that. So many different ways you could take it. So that's the whole point. Unless we hear from Shastra, unless we gain from Shastra and from the Acharyas, you know, by Krishna's mercy, then what's the hierarchy there? And we won't know. So all this is being expressed to come to the point of pure devotion. That's the real thing. But it's not just a state of, you know, just sitting there like meditation or something, and then the devotee just starts becoming more and more effulgent until they expand to the whole, you know, one of these kind of, you know, weirdo things, you know, which is very popular. But that kind of aspect, that's not that. It's the affection that's going on. That's why those who don't understand about the affection in Krishna as a person can only see the effulgence. Because that's all the qualities, all the this, that, all that impersonal aspect that we're used to. So since we see impersonal, we can only see that. Right? We're dealing with material world, we're impersonal, therefore we can only see that much. So when Krishna reveals himself and that pastime with him, his devotees, based on that affection, that's the real thing. And the other things are just an excuse. Right? Since the affection is unlimited, the ways you can express it is unlimited. But that unlimited is according to Krishna's desire, not ours. And we may have desires to fulfill Krishna's desire within particular ways. Right? We may be attracted, like Mother Jashoda likes to please Krishna in the parental rasa. But it's still, how that's done is still according to Krishna's desire. Right? So that's what works. You know? So that's there. So it's not that, oh no, but what pleases me, that will please Krishna. That's what we're saying. Then we're, you know, anthropomorphizing. We're just projecting our, you know, so saying, they'll say that's aropia. We'll just take it, what is our desire, and then project that onto Krishna, onto devotional service, onto the devotees, you know, onto the deities, everything like that. It's called projection. You know, or overlaying. You know, so the deity's there, and we overlay on top of that what we want. You know, so it's not, though it's directed at Krishna, so it's purifying, but the point is that until it's about Krishna and his desire, it's not going to work. So that's why it's always, you're focusing on that point to make the point. But then if we take that point and then try to split it, then you know, we take what we want out of it. No, because generally, whichever one we want, the other one's the actual one. So that's the whole, that's how you balance it. That's why you sometimes see Prabhupada on the same discussion. One time he'll be talking about this, and another time he'll be talking the opposite. What's the problem? You're talking about the same thing, but let's say sometimes someone's overemphasizing the secondary, so Prabhupada talks the primary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if someone's overemphasizing the primary, Prabhupada talks the secondary. Mm-hmm. Like Prabhupada, what medical system did he you know, use? Ayurveda. Right? He didn't really appreciate the modern one so much. But when someone was overemphasizing Ayurveda, then Prabhupada made the point, yeah, allopath has become, you know, quite advanced in many areas. So he's just trying to make a balance. So that's the thing, is Niyamagraha one way, then you talk the other one to try to bring it back. But then what happens, then we switch to that one, so you have to talk the opposite again. You're trying to get in the middle. That's the whole point. And the middle is not a compromise. The middle is actually the where Krishna's desire is. Because either you're pleasing Krishna, which is that razor's edge, or you're not, which is the unlimited to the left and to the right. So you can speculate, you know, unlimitedly, forever, and still not come up with what's Krishna's desire. That's it. So.
Is
aropia
mental speculation?
Is aropia mental speculation? No, it's taking the aspect of, it may have that, but it's taking the aspect of that you're over projecting your needs and desires and mentality onto the devotional process or onto Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. It means it comes from mental speculation, but it's a different aspect of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody says, let's say we have a nice cauliflower and potato sabji. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or with a nice sauce. Okay? So is the sauce the sabji?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the potatoes are the sabji? You know, the sauce, the spicing is not the sabji.
Entire combination is
the sabji. So, but don't... See, we take one part and try to make that the whole thing. So we take mental speculation and try to fit that to everything. It's all right that we're contemplating, okay, what are the effects of mental speculation? You know, what are the strengths and weaknesses? So we'll see it in that way. But you have to understand is that that doesn't make that the main thing. Right? So now and again you find an individual comes up with something. He starts to make sense. It falls into place. Then they make their whole philosophy, their whole identity and everything about that. Does that make sense? We see that a lot in the soft preaching. Is that they come up with something that they found kind of worked, and then they make that the whole identity, that's the whole position, that's the, you know, that their whole, it's like its own independent entity.
That's the same philosophy that they try to find.
Yeah, so then like that. So that's a common thing. It's just the manifestation of the material. Someone does something that works, you know, someone... Like we said before, eats raw, and suddenly that's the thing. Nothing else, you know, matters. Someone else does, you know, a no mucus diet. Someone else comes up with the burn the fat diet, you know, by fasting. Someone else, no, you have to eat. No, someone else is eat no carbs. The others, no, you only eat carbs. You know, there's people that come up with these diets, 5,000 or 7,000 calories, or even 10,000 calories. And you look at the guys, the other guys with the, you know, the not even a six-pack, an eight-pack, you know, and all the muscles and this rippling and that. Those guys eat ridiculous amount of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is all these different things, is it works for the person, but you try to extend it to go to everything, but it doesn't work. That's the problem. That's the aropia. So it's just a standard material problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like someone who lives in the mountains and likes it there, then that's the best place. Someone who lives down on the plains, then that's the best place. Someone who lives on the ocean, that's the best place. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is it works for their conditioning. Then they try to apply that universally to everybody and say they have the universal formula. But only Krishna is the universal formula.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing. So we have to be very, very careful. Is that's why we have to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. Otherwise, we will take some aspect of this and try to make that the total thing. Right? You know, it says, otherwise, you look at what are all the apasampradayas? They're taking an aspect that's bona fide, but then overemphasizing it till it becomes absurd. You know, it's not about the rules and regulations, it's about the proper attitude. We say that. But we do follow the rules and regulations. The sahajiyas don't. You know? Or we're all, how you say, we're all Krishna's energy. We're all Prakriti. He's Purusha. So therefore we should have that serving attitude. Like the Shakyamunis take that a bit far. And, you know, they're men with a grizzly beard and they wear a sari. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's like that. That, you know, one performs the proper activities, one performs the proper things like that, according to Shastra, does all these things that Shastra recommends, and all that. We'll say that also, but you take it to extreme. That's your Sahartas or Kasta Goswamis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Krishna is the enjoyer. And Lord Chaitanya, therefore, being Krishna, is the enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
But what is he enjoying? He's enjoying the mood of Srimati Radharani. That's what he's trying to taste, because he has the taste as the Purusha. But he's found that the taste that the Prakriti gets is even higher, so he wants to know that, because he can't do that as himself, because he's the Vishaya. Right? So he takes the mood of the Ashraya. So then, that knowledge that that's what's going on, taken to extreme, then you get what are they called? Gauranga Nagaris. Lord Chaitanya's the enjoyer, so they have him there with the you know, with all the like that, and then the pictures are all dancing in Srivas's courtyard, and Lord Chaitanya is making this super disgustingly lusty glance over at Gadadhar, who's giving that back, and it's all happening because, and only those who know what's going on, and you know, all that kind of disgusting stuff. So even amongst the Hajjiyas, as we've made the point before, you know, of all these bogus, the Apasampradayas, all of them consider these guys the most Apasampradaya. That means nobody accepts them. You know, it's just like in Mana mentions, you have all the outcasts. But then when you have the Antyajya, they're the outcasts of the outcasts. Even they consider, they won't even sit with them. So they're like, of all the different groups, they're the worst. So like this, you see, is they're taking something that's proper and then overemphasizing it, right? You know, you see, where in Gotama, do we not use logic?
Yes.
But can logic actually reveal the ultimate truth? No. So that's where his mistake is. Do we not appreciate that everything is atoms, and it's just put together in various ways according to Krishna's arrangement?
Yeah.
Right. So, but if we say that understanding that, that's what's going to give you God realization, then that's overextended. Shankya, do we not analyze how things work in that? Yes, but if that's all there is. Or yoga, do we not practice yoga? We're called bhakti yogis, right? But if you overemphasize the yogic part and not the devotee, then it has that. Do we not perform activities according to Shastra? Right? But if you overemphasize that, then you get Jaimini. Right? And then if you take the Vedanta, then you, if you overemphasize just the aspect of the soul and Brahman, then you get Shankara. You understand? You understand? So all it is that we overemphasize, we get the mood wrong, we get the whole thing. That's why then when Prabhupada starts in the Gita, he starts with the spirit. But the attitude is the first thing that has to be adjusted. If that's adjusted, then you can adjust everything else. Otherwise, you adjust the knowledge and skills, the identity and all that, and that's all you have, it's not good. Right, you perform the proper activities without the devotion, or you have the goal to get the results, but it's not in devotion. Then you've missed the point. So therefore, only when that attraction to Krishna is there to please Krishna, then you can get the others. So the process actually starts there. You understand? Okay. When Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything himself. Sevan mukhi hi jivada, swayam eva spuratyada. He reveals more and more to the devotee as the devotee advances in service. Jihua dao. This service begins with the tongue, and chanting, and with the taking of prasad of Krishna. So, let's see here. Also the overemphasis in this, I can't say. You know how you say the... The brahmacharis take the taking of prasad as the most like that, and then others more detached and couldn't care less about anything take the chanting part. And, yeah. Patashi Krishna namadi nabhavet grahyam indriyahi sevan mukhi mukhe hi jihva da swayam eva spuratyada. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 17:136. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. This new rope also was short by a measurement of 2 fingers, and then another rope was joined to it. It was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. The shortness could not be overcome. Footnote 29. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 15 and 16. Okay. 15 and 16. To the Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Gayama, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book, right? Because it's about Krishna's pleasure. When Krishna's pleased, that's Prayojana. So in here, her expressing her affection, then that is catching Krishna's attention. But the point is the secondary attributes that she's using of using the rope to tie him so that therefore he'll be... the aspect of, how you say, properly, how you say, corrected, so that he won't make any trouble, and all these are ways she's expressing that parental love. So when that parental love gets to the point of fullness, then we see that it's there. So then, yeah. So that's what's going on here. And then she's eternally glorified for this pastime. You think of Mother Jashoda, this is your main pastime.
Yes.
This is the one that everyone talks about.
Yes. Right?
Because by her love, she was able to bind the Supreme Lord. It means not that she is able to control him, but he willingly becomes controlled. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
So Maharaj, can we say that when Krishna is pleased, the devotee is pleased?
Yes.
So the devotee tastes the full, can say, result of his endeavor to please Krishna, when Krishna is pleased.
Yes.
So it is a prior jhana also the devotee.
Yes, yes. Because it means, but the point is that one's not working for one's own pleasure, one's working for Krishna's pleasure, because one knows that that includes yours.
Yes.
So you're experiencing the pleasure, but your focus is not on the pleasure. Yes. So that's the aspect of aparoksha. Mm-hmm. Is that you can experience it, but as soon as you focus on it, it goes away. So that's the whole point, is the focus has to be on Krishna.
Yes.
As soon as you move the focus that I'm really enjoying this, then it's gone. Because
yes.
It's not, because we're happy because it's connection to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
So as long as one continues that, one then has that taste.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to it because we want to deal with it and I have it. But the present is only a moment. And so if I'm dealing with I have it and it's mine and I'm really enjoying this, what phase of time are we working with? Because present already went. We've seized the moment. So now that we've seized it and we have it and we're trying to enjoy it, what
past.
Phase we're in the past.
Yes.
So that's ignorance.
Yes.
See, if you're always in the present, dealing in the present to please Krishna, therefore Krishna's pleased and you're pleased. As soon as then we take it and try to enjoy it ourselves, we're in the past, so we're in ignorance. How can we be pleased?
Mm.
Or if it's in the future, that I will be pleased, or this will happen, then you're not dealing in the moment. So it's not about Krishna. So that's why goodness is dealing in the moment. Pure goodness is dealing in the moment for Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this future and past, they don't really have any importance. Is that something? Mm-hmm. You had something?
From the last point that you discussed.
The last point.
No.
How last?
Before the.
Well, you wanted to ask something about the saris. No, okay. Do I actually have to buy 8,000 rupees?
Yeah. Arupya and your delineation on the Arupya stuff. Maharaj, we see there's a pattern forming there. That, again, like last week we discussed that the scientists are coming up with some universal theory. So those who are taking one aspect of the Shastra or Srila Prabhupada's instruction, they try to make that as a whole universal philosophy. What? And these are not newcomers. These are like a very advanced sort of, you know, big
thing. The point is this is just a standard thing. We're just saying someone has a nature and that you find something that works for you, that's great. That's why then if you associate with like-minded individuals, then it works for them also. But to say that that will work for everybody means that aspect will be there, but not necessarily in the balance that we're using it. So yes, it does apply to everybody, but it may not be the prominent aspect in someone else's life. Because that's the difference in the uniqueness of the individuals. So everything about Krishna is universal. But that combination that works for us, we have to see that that works there. But that us, we have to be able to define as the soul. Because if we take the us by our conditioning, then we really have problems. Right? Because the souls are individual, but the if we take the external, the bodily conception, then that's really, you know what I'm saying? It's just like you live on a street. I don't know if anybody has kind of the thing where you have individual houses like that. So you have there, you have your place, you have that. But what's going on in your house is the real thing. What the neighbors are doing, it's always, you know, never quite the thing. The guys across the street are really out of it. You know what I'm saying? So if we take the material, where's the universal? You know what I'm saying? There isn't. So the whole point is that's why then the Shastras, they give what should be done. So the Shastra is the universal. Then within that, what applies to you. So therefore, in the social system, social economic system, then you have the religious system, then you have eight positions you can be in. And you could be in any stage of those, like your beginning grihastha, middle grihastha, going to the end. So they always have those flavors, you know, new brahmachari and situated nicely, and that, you know, so you have all these variety within. Right? And so therefore you could say is within that, then let's say you have eight, so you have kind of have 24 positions. Right? Because whether you're kind of beginning, well situated, or even more mature in that, or it's going into another stage. Does that make sense? So that whole aspect is there. There is nothing within the material world that can deal with all that. They'll deal with aspects, but they won't deal with the whole thing. Only the Shastra deals with the whole thing. But that whole thing is only there for being used to engage religion and Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Because Krishna performs religious activities. That's what makes them identify. So Krishna's not into impious activities. So therefore, then that's why these things aren't recommended. Because if we say, oh, but here, Krishna's stealing butter, that's not religious. But the point is why is he stealing butter? To interact with his devotees. Why are we stealing butter? You know, it's about ourselves. And even we say, no, but it's for the family, but that's just extended your thing. As long as the family you like, then you care about them. If the family annoys you, you're not caring about them. But we see Krishna, even when we're really annoying, that we, you know, we have to be put here in the material world, Krishna still has that affection and takes care. So we have to be able to make this discrimination. Otherwise, how we're going to progress?
Maharaj, so at what this? I think the original problem is aropya, is anartha. So at what point does the devotee start to make mistake and not see the all-encompassing philosophy that Srila Prabhupada gave and makes his own stuff up? So I don't want to end up like them when I hit my 60s. So Maharaj, what is the mistake that these people have made time and again? So where did they go wrong? Where did they not see that Srila Prabhupada's books are all-encompassing? I don't have to invent something on my own. So, and they're good people when they started out. At one point...
They're still good people.
Yeah, they are.
It's just the point is there, you know, it works for them. But the point is that...
How did this not stop working for them? And we understand everything. What happened?
Probably lack of association. Because you see that there's less for those who joined really, really early. So it's just what Prabhupada did. They those who were there from, you know, 66 to, let's say, 68, kind of like that, then even sometimes 69, they have a kind of different view because they did everything with Prabhupada. So whatever Prabhupada did, that's all they'll do. So even there's things in the books, they don't really recognize them because they didn't see Prabhupada doing them, because Prabhupada was giving for, you know, the instruction for 10,000 years. So some of these things may take a few generations to establish. But it's only appreciating them. But because they didn't see Prabhupada do it, they don't bother with it. But they generally stay fixed like that. So then you'll just see the anarthas will generally be some personal aspect and personality or, you know, qualities or things like that. Generally they won't come up with some other philosophy. You know what I'm saying? Later, then they might take more because they didn't have that direct association with Prabhupada to see what he does and therefore attach. Then they're going by what they saw around them. And so then that might have a little bit more of a distraction. You know? So it's basically association. That's why Rupa Goswami says you keep association with those who are more advanced than yourself. You know, but as you advance, then anything can be guru, as we'll see next year in the 11th canto. Prabhupada says, even your body can be guru, you can learn from that. You know, because we see that sadhu had 22 gurus. So then that the details of that, that's just prominent. But Prabhupada says that someone who's advanced can learn from anywhere, anything. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm saying? Okay. So the point is, we just take and say, you know, try to apply it in our life and all that, and then Krishna will take care. You know, we don't have to worry about others so much. Okay. Thus, Mother Jashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household, but still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Jashoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Similarly, Mother Jashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. All of them were struck with wonder. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. All the neighborhood cowherd women were laughing. Gopi Nam, Shush Mayanti Nam. Jashoda was astonished. Vishmita, a rope of 100 hastas does not fit around the waist of my son, which measures only one fist. And that small waist is not getting any bigger. It's not like he's getting fatter and fatter. Yeah, you know, like, you know, there's pictures of Gopal, you know, like that. He's fat. Yeah, so 100 hastas, that means 150 feet, which would mean, what, like 200 meters. No. Huh? 50 meters. So a 50-meter rope. Yeah. You know? So they're not using the small ropes. She may have started with a small rope. Because that should have worked. The rope is certainly not getting any shorter, but still the rope cannot go around him. That is the first amazing thing. When I tie the ropes together, each time it is 2 fingers short, not 3 or 4. That is the second amazing thing. It's always 2 fingers, so you can see he's in control. Otherwise, then why would... Right? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continues. So that's Krishna's exactness. Like when he expands, when he enters the universe and he expands... He expands to 10 fingers, the width of 10 fingers beyond the universe. Just to show he's more than that. So that means what we know within, the 4 billion miles within, and then the, you know, beyond all the layers, you know, just 10 times 10 times like this, you know, so thousands and thousands of layers, then 10 fingers beyond. Just 10. You know, like she's saying, it's exact, not 12, not 9, 10. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, because of Mother Jashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Footnote 30. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 18 to two different chapters in his Bhagavad Arkamrichimala. The first appears in chapter 19, entitled Perfection of the Mellow Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book, and also in chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattva, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so, therefore, the tasting of this rasa of the parental relationship, right, that how his various energies are there, and how he is rasa. So on the principle that he is rasa, you can see here, he is the source of it, he's why it's happening. At the same time, then we have that taste itself, that parental rasa, that is then in the Prayojana section, because that's what we're trying to do. Because as we see, the holy name is the process, but once one gets to the perfectional platform, you see it's the goal also. So it is everything. So it's in the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. But depending on what you're tasting, then you categorize. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The older gopis said, as you cannot tie up his waist even with all the ropes of the house, then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. Listen, Jashoda, give up this attempt. Though the village women advised in this way, Jashoda was insistent. Thus she said, even if evening comes and I tie together the ropes of the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of my son's waist. If Jashoda with desire to do good to her son, and being stubborn, would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord, then between the Lord and the devotee, the Lord, devotee's stubbornness prevails. Right? Because it's about the Lord, you know, to do good for her son. Right? So it's out of affection. It's not out of anger or this or that. It's out of affection. Thus, seeing his mother's becoming tired, the Lord gave up his own stubbornness, and by his mercy allowed himself to be tied. His mercy is the king of all Shaktis, illuminating all else. Right? So here's another hierarchy. Right? Mm-hmm. It melts the heart of the Lord as if it were butter. Mercy's appearance made the Satyasankalpa and Vibhuti Shakti suddenly disappear. Ooh, oh no. The shortage of two fingers was filled by effort. Parishrama and mercy, kripa, right? Because it's two fingers. So one is one's endeavor and the Lord's mercy. So the devotee makes the effort, the Lord reciprocates with that mercy. So that effort then melts his heart. And so, in other words, his heart's melted by mercy. And he shows that mercy. Right? So his own energy. So that's why the mercy is superior to that. Right? So we have to... Yes.
I was thinking that here we can see that Krishna is really pushing it, and the mother is sure that she gives her 100%. Still, he's not satisfied. So he is pushing her beyond 100%. And then in our own practice, well, I can speak for
myself. Trying to push beyond 20%.
So, yeah. And nobody even preaches to give nowadays 100%. You give something and this and that.
No, because that's considered fanatic and over this and that. And, you know, she'd be accommodating. If I put in 2 minutes to cook, you know, a lasagna, that's enough, you know, and I'll have this fabulous lasagna and everything like that. That's the philosophy that's going on. So, and therefore, no lasagna.
So how can we, you know, practical...
apply it in our own life. We know it. We apply it. No one else wants to apply it. Then what to do? If everybody asks, then you say that. Because if you say it in the right mood and all that, then it'll be accepted. It's just nowadays that so many words and this and that have been cut off by the politically correct approach that therefore even to nicely explain it would be very, very difficult to get in there in just the right mood when everybody's right in the right attitude. Because if there's any attitude of, you know, controlling or enjoying or fear or any of these other things that are there, then you won't be able to get it in. You know? And just saying that, or it's just a show, or oh, that's nice, but then we have to be practical and be realistic and all these different things. So that's why you just practice it yourself, and then by that practice others may notice that something's going right, and so they may take advantage of that association or ask or like that. So that's the whole, that is, it's like the example given in the appearance of Lord Krishna. So after Vasudeva then transferred Krishna from his heart to Devaki's heart, then she became very effulgent and everything. But then in the prayers by the demigods, and they mentioned it was like fire covered by ash. Mm-hmm. And then in the purport, then Prabhupada's talking about how the sadhus sometimes, they take that, if things aren't going so well, then they just take that position of like fire covered by ash. So they perform their sadhana, they do everything properly, but it's covered. Mm-hmm. Because people can't digest. So therefore you do it, and it's successful. They won't know why, or they'll attribute it to some modern success thing like this, but it won't be appreciated. And then at some point it may be manifest. So it's all due to the time factor. So all it is the time factor makes something that shouldn't necessarily be there. But with time, then what should be there will again manifest. So we see, it's nicely manifest that idea, though it's a bit rough and ready, you know, and then devotees trying to be more sophisticated, more cultured, instead of using the traditional things, they try to use modern, and they're not so good at that either. So then it's just a matter of time before it comes back the other way. So by the performance of devotional service, the qualities of the heart, the softness, then the traditional form of culture can be manifest, and then these things can be discussed. Because there has to be some purity that one doesn't take, you don't get buzzwords. You know, that's the whole thing. Is nowadays it's very arbitrary what's a buzzword. Because a word that was perfectly good, you know, last week, this week is a buzzword. And so you can't, it means those who work on this political platform, you absolutely cannot have a proper conversation with them. Unless it's political. Then, yeah, so two politicians can have a discussion. But if you're talking about sincerity and bhakti, you can't have a discussion. Because anything you say can be used, I say. It's like, yeah, it's like the Miranda. Just they don't read you your rights. Everything you say can and will be used against you, but not in a court of law. We will just, you know, use it. You know, so that's the whole problem is that it's not about the intent, it's not about this, it's just about the secondary external. So it's, even though one's claiming to be all about the mood, it's totally about the externals of that mood. They don't go for the truth. In other words, they'll try to throw out the externals of the person who has a tendency to follow tradition. Right? That's thrown out because that's an authority. And the whole position of the liberal is to anti-authority. Right? So that's thrown out. While the conservative appreciates authority. The problem is then they take the authority into their own hands and they're the authority. But, you know, it's like that. Well, for the liberals, it's not obvious that they're being the authority. So it's considered more cultured, more intellectual, more like this and that. But it's exactly the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. Right? It's exactly... Whether you put the coin down on the counter to pay for something heads up or tails up, it's still you buy your goods. Right? It's not different. But they're thinking that it's something totally separate. So they're actually, the difference is the ones on the externals in a gross way, you know, overt, while the others is about the externals in a covert way. They cover it up, by covering it, you make it seem nice. You know, so it's like the couch is filthy. So you just put a sheet over it and, you know, invite your guests to sit down. So that, oh, so much better. Right? You know, and so that will go for some time. So, just be realistic. You know, we're just down home people, and it happens. The guy's sitting there, the couch potatoes, watching things on the TV. He drops things on the couch. The kids drop things on the couch. You know, stuff like that. So, therefore, you know, why are you trying to, you know, pose this superficial, external, you know, sophisticatedness? We're just down home. So, therefore, you know, our couch is like that. We can appreciate your couches. You know, so we're friends. We can sit on each other's filthy couch. You know, so that'll be the thing. And then at some point it'll come out, you know, go opposite again. You understand? That's the whole point is because Krishna is everything. You can argue anything from any angle. So how to know what angle you could use is what's Krishna's angle. And where do we get that from the acharyas? Is that? So, therefore, in our own life, we'll apply it how much we can get to that 100%. Even if others not. So then we encourage others at whatever. If they're working at 9%, we try to get them to 10. Like that. But whatever we're at, we try to do more. You know, but that positioning, that strong presentation of 100%, then that's not used. Like that. You can, because that's, you know, more an emergency. So when there's nothing going on, then you can use that more strongly. But as things are established, then you don't need to use it that way. You can deal more nicely and take more time. You know, it's just like if everything's going nicely, you can take time. And if there's a fire, you can't really take time. You can't sit there and try to convince them and this and that. You just start yelling and screaming. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. It's just that now is not as emergent. I mean, it's always emergency. You're in the material world, but it's not as much as in the beginning because there was nothing. You know, but now then you have so much, so therefore then one can afford to deal in a more cultured way. Mm. But that doesn't mean that what you're trying to express changes. That's the problem. And being cultured, then they don't know how to be cultured and be straightforward. Because you see, is those who are really, really cultured, you know, from super high class families and all of that, they're really straightforward people, but they ask so nicely. They ask so nicely, or they make the point so nicely, but you were saying this and now you're saying that. I don't understand. You know, it's just very cultured. Well, if you're not from that background, then to point that out, you will say it in, hey, that's wrong, that's not just, that's wrong, why are you saying this? You know, so that's the thing, is we present this veneer, you know, it's like the, you know, the cliche of holding your teacup and pointing, sticking your little finger out for something, and then you're cultured, like that. Or, you know, so like that, is you get, there's something that comes up that this is the cultured way of doing it, and then everybody follows that until everybody does it, and then because you want to be unique in your culture, then the fashion changes. You know what I'm saying? So it's still affected by fashion and all these things. It's not, you know, as Prabhupada pointed out, is that the modern means do something new, right? You know, stand, walk on your hands. You stick your legs up in the air and walk on your hands, you know, do something different. That's, now we're getting somewhere. Rather than learning just, you're already walking, now walk for Krishna. No, we have to do something else. If we're going to do it for Krishna, now we have to walk on our hands. So, you know, so Prabhupada didn't feel that was important. Does that make sense? So the same old thing works. If no one else is into it, you follow it, and then with time, as people, you know, start to observe that things are working, then they'll either start to pick it up or associate or ask. Or so at that time, then you explain. Before that, if you say and people aren't interested, then it doesn't get anywhere. Does that sense? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupāda ki
Jai